Again, I do have an object lesson today. And those of you who are teachers know that when you do an object lesson, what? It sticks with you longer, right? Okay. First one is water. Somebody says, I know this one. Sounds like it. Second one is corn syrup. And the third one is honey. Do I have them in the order?
No.
Okay. And I have to thank Kay for the marbles. I went to Walmart last night to get marbles and a couple other things at the store, and when I got home, the marbles were not in the bag. So, and I did it with the lids because you don't call me Gracie for nothing. So we know that if we put this marble in this water, what's going to happen?
It's going to drop.
It's going to drop. Is it going to go slow, fast?
Fast.
Fast. Okay, so Bonnie's going to make sure that she doesn't knock it over. Okay. Can you see the marble?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm hoping you get to see the marble in this one. That's my concern. If not, we'll pretend. And this one?
Slower.
Slower? Do you know honey and corn syrup is expensive? Jeez. And by the way, I'm going to be pouring some of this back in here, or back in its container, so if anybody wants some honey, please, Lord, let them see the light. You think, would the white be better?
Maybe.
Well, you know, off this treble. Can you see it?
Oh, yeah.
You can see it?
Very slow.
It's going to go very slow, but you can see it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you can see it. That's...
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you. And you go, okay, Pastor Bonnie, where are you going with this? Well, I figured this little object lesson would be better than telling you that we're going to sit here and watch this plant grow.
Going to sit here and watch this grow for a while. Anybody interested?
No? Okay. All right.
Wait, right.
Or, what did you say?
I said it's like watching paint dry.
Yeah. Funny that you say that because here's a paintbrush.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it'd be just as exciting to watch paint dry on a wall, right? Or, lastly, so be thankful that I brought this as watching water turn into ice cubes, right? So you're saying, well, what's this got to do with our message? What it's got to do with is patience. Patience. Patience is not just the ability to wait, but the ability to keep a good attitude while waiting. So, how did we finally land here?
Yes.
We did. I figured it'd take all sermon, but okay. Anyways, be as patient. We need to learn to be as patient with others as we are with ourselves. You know, be as patient with others as God is with us as well. So God has perfect patience, right? We know that. God has perfect patience. And he's never early, and he's never late. We know he's always on time. But listen to this. Patience, I love when I found this. I just thank the Lord. Think about this. Patience with others is love. Okay? Patience with others is love. Patience with yourself is hope. Think about that. Never would have put the two together. Patience with ourselves is hope. Patience with God is faith. Now, the Bible tells us, let your hope keep you joyful. Be patient in your troubles and pray at all times. Right across this, Dr. Seuss said, waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night. Everyone just has to wait. So, waiting is something where we know it's hard to do. Waiting is like, you know, we're twiddling our thumbs. or we're tapping our feet, or we're sitting there rocking, you know, whatever, how whatever motion that you need. Some of us yawn, and some of us, while we're waiting. But the thing that happens when we express it physically, what's happening on the inside of us? We're getting frustrated, anxious, and what's the scripture say? Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. There's enough going on today that we don't even need to step into tomorrow. Waiting is one of life's best teachers, for in it we learn the virtue while waiting. Now, while God works in us and for us when we're experiencing and learning patience, it is in the waiting that we develop endurance and the ability to trust God in His love and His goodness, His faithfulness. So, I'm going to have you throw some at me here this morning, but I'm going to throw these at you to kind of get you stirred up a little bit. Opportunities to learn and experience patience. How about standing in the grocery store at the checkout counter? That's one of them. How about driving through a drive-thru? Now, I said bank or fast food. Is there another place you can go through the drive-thru and you get frustrated? Anybody? Can you think of anything? What? Pharmacy. Oh, yes. That's a good one. Caroline says, I know that one very well. So, how about a doctor's office or a dentist's office? Waiting to be seated at or served at a restaurant. All of these are what? You need what? Patience. How about a slow-moving train? I figure if anybody experiences that, it's you people around here, right? I mean, Mary, she's always seeing a train coming or going, right, Mary? You try to beat it. Here's another one, one of my favorites. How about the DMV? Okay, I know some of you are going to, I'm going to hear some sound effects here. On hold with Medicare or Xfinity or any other. What other businesses are you put on hold for? Anybody? Business-wise.
Doctor's office for an appointment.
Okay.
Cable company,
okay. How about waiting on a medical test results? Waiting for your braces to come out. How about kids on the road saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Or kids waiting for Christmas, and then of course parents waiting for kids to go back to school after Christmas. I want you to think about something. You know, we talk about patience this morning, but I want to set you up here a little bit. You know, if we were to pray for courage, what has to happen for us to experience that courage? Trial, right? Or peril. In order to experience that courage, you have to experience it through a situation that stresses you out, right? You have to, you can't use the courage otherwise, right? It just sits there dormant. Well, the same is true with patience. You think when you ask God to give you patience, that He's going to give it to you, what He's going to do is give you an opportunity to use patience. Okay? The same with courage. If you want courage, God's going to give you an opportunity to use that courage. Okay? But then it says, if someone prayed for a family to be closer, do you think that God zaps a little fuzzy little feeling in you to draw you closer to as a family? No. That isn't what He does. He gives them opportunities to love each other. And sometimes those opportunities are a positive thing. They're a positive event or an occasion. But then there are times when, you know, you have to show tough love, maybe towards your kids, or you and your spouse have a disagreement. And yet, you know, you've got to show respect and love. So, again, those are ways that even though it might be a stressful situation in a family surrounding, God gives us opportunities to show that patience, to show that love towards each other. Now, when we need to look at the opportunity, we need to look at the opportunities, not so much the problem. And what I mean by the opportunities to use patience. Now, a word that we can put with opportunities is the word push. Now, if I was to have a blackboard here, I would P-U-S-H. P-U-S-H, which stands for pray until something happens. When you do that, when you pray until something happens, push, what is happening? Patience enters in. Patience takes over. Okay? A lot of us have heard the old saying, Lord, give me more patience, but do it now. Why is it that patience, what happens? Patience evaporates when we are late, maybe when we have an appointment, we're late and we get stressed out, or we're caught up in traffic, you know, and we need to be someplace, or I don't know how these people stand it in Chicago and all these other places where they're sitting idle on a freeway for, you know, minutes to, you know, who knows, you know, traffic stands still. But how about this one? Yeah, you're at the grocery store and you're in line and you only got 8 things and you're in the 10 item or less aisle and the person in front of you's got 20. And you're murmuring. I was murmuring when I got home last night because when I found out I didn't have any models in my bag, I did not want to get back in the car, and thank goodness that, you know, Kay had some. I was calling around a few people. But the thing is, and you know, you don't know when those occasions come up that you're going to have to apply patience, right? Now, I remember when my husband and I would go places, and we'd get in a busy place like, you know, maybe Chicago or someplace, or just any place, and you're at a stop sign, and the person across from the highway is at the stop sign, and there's traffic going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and he's sitting there, and he used to say, because we couldn't get into the flow of traffic because the traffic was so bad, he'd say, now you people, and he'd be talking about the people zooming by, and he'd go, you people have had all day to go this way, but no, you got to wait till now. So, but the thing is, we can make it funny. We can make it a funny thing, and it's a way of maybe expressing our impatience, but yet we can laugh at ourselves, you know. And I find myself the other day when I was coming off the back road by your guys' house and there was traffic. And it wasn't a lot of traffic, but it was just enough. And I think one of them was a tractor. So it was, you know, and I was in a hurry to get someplace. And I'm like, and it just came out. You guys have had all day to go by here, but no, you have to wait till now. So we can find some humor in those times. And in a way, yeah, maybe it is a lack of patience, but yet you can laugh at yourself. And it takes away that stress and that anxiety. So when that happens, we not only fail when we get frustrated and anxious, we not only fail to be patient, but we undercut the spirit that works in our lives. In other words, when we allow the anxiety, the stress to take over, then it takes away from us using the fruits of the Spirit. And of course, we know the fruits of the Spirit, one of them, of course, is patience. It says in Galatians 5:22, we all know that patience is a virtue, it's a fruit of the Spirit, which means that demonstrating impatience reveals our sour fruit, that we have a sour fruit and we have a fallen heart, rather than the sweetness of Christ in us. So, again, what develops patience? Anybody? What develops patience? Problems. Problems develop or cause us to use patience, okay? And the way we react to those problems and trust God can develop our patience, okay? We can't do this on our own. We cannot do it on our own. Of course, we all know that God is a patient God, and when we abandon our patience, what are we doing? We're allowing the God to see that lack of patience, but they're also seeing the lack of God's presence in our actions and in how we feel. And then when that happens, when we have that sudden burst of impatientness, guess what happens? What we're doing is we're going, like the other day when I said, I'm busy, people. You shouldn't be going by right now. I need to get out. What I'm doing is I'm doing it on my agenda. It's about my agenda at that point. So the real Bonnie at that moment has stepped out, not the real Bonnie, but the Bonnie that shouldn't have stepped out. But it makes us realize that we still need some work. I still had need some work done. So patience gives us the privilege of sharing that refreshing fruit that God can only give, okay? We often find ourselves determined to reach out and help someone we know. But then again, like here we are, like Veronica brought up, you know, about Kelly and about these three ladies that she prays for. She does it every day, every single day, every single day. She's faithful at it. Sometimes when we pray for certain people and we get discouraged because we don't see a change, be it a chronic illness, be it addiction, be it a lifestyle change, you know, whatever it is. Sometimes we get frustrated. Maybe not so much with a person who's got a chronic illness or cancer or something like that. We stick to it. But maybe when it's somebody who's an addict or someone who needs to, whose lifestyle definitely needs to be changed, and we've been praying for them for weeks and months and years and decades, and we just finally get to the point, well, they're never going to change. They're just never going to change. But we are the might be the only person that's praying for them. This morning I woke up at a little before 5, and I was dreaming about this family. And this man's name is Kent. And I haven't thought of them for a long time, a long, long, long time. Lovely Christian family, lovely family. And for some reason, I had this dream that he was blessing us with something. He was going to bless us with something. And I woke up from the dream. And I said, Lord, why did I dream about this? Why did I have this dream? I haven't thought of this family for years, you know? And immediately it was, pray for him. Pray for him. I go, okay, Lord, don't know what I'm praying for, but whatever it is, Lord, be it spiritually, physically, mentally, or emotionally, Lord. And he's a man of God. I mean, he is a man of God. And I said, you know, sometimes you think, well, why would he need prayer? That's not ours to say. So, again, we take that when we don't have, like, patience would step in right there. You're saying, I'm tired. I don't have the patience to do that right now. I don't want to pray. No, you stop, and it doesn't have to be long. When Jesus prayed over the woman at the well, or prayed with the woman with the issue of blood, or with the blind man, or with the leper, he didn't spend 20 minutes praying over him. He just prayed because he had the faith to pray, and that's what we're to do. They don't have to be lengthy words, lengthy scripture, lengthy prayers. You just have to have faith. So we don't have to say, well, it takes a lot of patience to take that time to pray for other people. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. So I've shared this before. I once had a refrigerator magnet that used to say, be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. The thing with this is that we find ourselves wanting others to be patient with us, but yet we don't find ourselves being patient with others. So how long should we keep praying and reaching out to those that we love? Well, in Galatians 6:9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Doesn't sound like there's really a time limit, does there? We're just to do it until we see the results. So here Paul is saying, or comparing this scripture, again it says, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So it's like a farmer who does not give up on his harvest when it comes due time to harvest it. He waits. He waits patiently for it to what? Ripen and be ready to harvest. And the Apostle Paul urges us to be patient in helping one another through stumbles and struggles in life. So, Galatians 6:2, Paul writes, carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So how many times should we reach out? Galatians 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So how many of us have experienced the time when you've texted somebody, and it's an urgent text, and you've texted them, and you're like, come on, get back to me, where it seems like minutes seem like hours seem like days, Seconds seem like minutes. It just seems like you want an answer right away. We find ourselves in that kind of situation. We're annoyed. We're frustrated. There might be, you might be frightened, irritated. But think about it. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, it says in the Old Testament that the prophet Daniel also experienced anxiety, awaiting for a reply. It says, after receiving a frightening vision of God, of great war, Daniel fasted and sought God through humble prayer. For 3 weeks or 21 days, he received no reply. Finally, an angel arrived and assured Daniel his prayers had been heard since the first day. In the meantime, the angel had been battling on behalf of those prayers, though Daniel didn't know it at first. So sometimes we've got to reflect back on what the Word says and the experiences that those that walked with God and sought God during their trials, through their times of growing in courage and in patience, they learned that just because you didn't hear the or see the results that first day doesn't mean that God wasn't digging right in with everything he had to get that prayer answered on that very first day. We don't know that. We might not see behind the scenes what God is doing. So it says here the angel had been battling on behalf of those prayers. Though Daniel didn't know it at first, God was at work during each of the 21 days that elapsed between the time he prayed it the first day and the time that the angel appeared. So the confidence that God hears our prayers, that's the thing. We cannot let Satan say, well, apparently he hasn't heard your prayer, or apparently it's a no, or it's a, you know, this ain't going to happen because you don't see the results. Satan's, that's the first thing he's going to do. He's going to come at you through your thoughts, and he's going to tell you, well, this ain't going to happen. You haven't seen any results from that prayer. So we have to have a confident knowing. Well, what is the confident knowing? Faith. Faith. Faith is the substance of things that we hope for. We hope that this prayer gets answered. So a confident knowing that God hears our prayers, which can erase that anxiety, that irritation, that frustration that Satan wants us to have. Okay? We are prone to wonder whether God cares or not. Yet Daniel experience in this, in chapter 10, reminds us that God is at work from the very, very beginning. So here's a couple of them before we close. Think about David. David was 15, 16, maybe top 17, when he was prayed over by Samuel to be king. It didn't happen the next day. And in fact, if anything, the odds from the time those 15 years before he did finally become king, the odds were, they looked, if you were to look in the natural, looked so slim, like zero to nothing. I mean, zero to negative nothing. I mean, it was, I mean, he was being sought at. He was being, Saul was trying to kill him. He was dealing with Absalom. He was dealing with, you know, others that he thought were faithful to him, that betrayed him. For 15 years, and yet, he patiently, because why? Because he had the confidence in knowing. He didn't see, just because he was anointed with oil by Samuel that first day, he didn't get the crown placed on his head that day. But he didn't give up. How about Zechariah? Now, it doesn't say exactly how many years that Zechariah and Elizabeth waited for John the Baptist to be born. I've read documentaries on it, and they say 5 to 7 years. It could have been longer than that. We don't know. It doesn't really say. But think about it. For such a time as this, like Esther, for such a time as this, John the Baptist had to be born at the time that he was born. Not 5 years earlier, 7 years earlier, 10 years earlier. He had to be born at that time. God's timing. Not too early, not too late. He was born at that time because why? He ushered in Christ. God has a plan. Every one of us, he has got a major plan for every one of us. Now, lastly, how about Angel Gabriel? He went to Abraham and he was told he was going to have a son. How many years did they wait? 25 years. It makes me ashamed to say that I had to wait an hour or a couple of weeks, or in Hunter's case, maybe a couple of decades. But we're seeing God move in his life. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that in the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You know what? Unfortunately, it's only problems that are going to help bring patience and grow patience. As much as we don't like that, it's only trials, unfortunately, that tests our faith and help our faith grow and mature. It's only endurance. It's only endurance that leads us to completion in Christ Jesus, in our walk with him. And it's only through that endurance and that steadfast love that he gives us that we can stay connected to what he has for us, and that he can fulfill his plan and his purpose in our lives. So let's close with prayer. Patient Heavenly Father, you not only give us unlimited love and forgiveness, but you make us complete in you. You never promised that this life would be an easy life, but you do promise that everything that we do for you is worth it. It is worth it. And when we get tired and we get frustrated, you are there to cheer us up, to back us up, and you give us strength and you keep us going. And as we focus on you, we are able to see that we will not lack for anything in the end. You will provide for the here and now and for the blessing that you give us as we enter heaven one day. So, Father, we thank you for providing Holy Spirit who leads us, who guides us, who helps us, and helps us stay focused, Lord, on you so that we can persevere, that we can endure and fulfill what your plan and your purpose is in our lives. And, Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. We thank you for your presence here this morning.